Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be in your presence again, knowing that this is the last hour in which we live. Earth's history passing away, all things going with it. And we cannot say that we regret it. There might be those who do, and that is all right. They do not know any better. But Lord, we're happy that we have been brought to the knowledge of yourself and your true kingdom. The revelation, Lord, before us in your presence, mightily in our midst. And we're thankful that the day is approaching when there is coming a time there'll be no sin in the earth. There'll be no people that will be vulnerable, but will be here in your glorious image. And we thank you for that. Now, Lord, may we know more about that wonderful time in which you live in your gracious presence. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated now. I guess it wouldn't have really mattered if we'd have started at 1 o'clock because I may keep you longer than I would normally. I got 16 pages of notes here, and I'm going to do a lot of recapping to bring you up where I feel we should be at this particular point before we move on. Now, the message, of course, is referring to the fact of the judge, and the subtitle is The Day of the Lord. We're going to view the Day of the Lord. And I'll be reading from the Patmos vision again, just various portions, such as page 95, paragraphs 131 to 132. Now, John was transmitted from the Isle of Patmos in the Spirit over into the Lord's day. This is the day of man. Men are fighting, but the day of the Lord will come when these kingdoms will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Then there'll be the great millennium. The Lord's day, the day of His coming, His judgment, that'll be the Lord's day. This is the day of man. That's the reason they slam you around, do what they want to with you. But there'll be a time. They call you now holy roller and fanatic, but there'll be a time, come see, that they won't do that. They'll scream and wail and fall at your feet. The Bible said in Malachi 4, you'll even walk up on the ashes after they're burnt up. Leave them neither root nor branch. Exactly what the Bible says. The righteous shall walk upon the ashes of the wicked. That's exactly. They'll not be left root or branch, nothing to come back to, and they'll be done. Now, this is man's day, man's doing, man's work, man's church, man's idea. But the day of the Lord is coming. Page 97 at the bottom. Maybe not quite bottom. In the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now we hear it. Now what? What was he doing? He was transferred from the isle now in the Spirit over into the Lord's day. And as soon as he got over into the Lord's day, he heard a trumpet. What was it? It's somebody approaching. A great one's approaching. Trumpet sounds. Somebody's coming. He looked. Saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and last. Not the announcement of the second party or third party, but the only party. I'm both Alpha and Omega. Before I show you anything, I want to let you know who I am. The greatest of all revelations is the deity, the supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get to first base until you believe that and walk out. That's what Peter said. Repent and then see the deity. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of sins, and then you're ready to go in the Spirit. The first thing you have to know is the deity of Christ. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm A to Z. There's no more but me. I was at the beginning, I'll be at the end. I am he which was, which is, which shall come, the Almighty. Think of it. That's what the trumpet said. Be careful, John. You've entered in the Spirit. Something's going to reveal to you. What is it? A trumpet sound. The first thing, I'm Alpha and Omega. The first of all revelations. O sinner, bow, repent now before the time is too late. I'm Alpha and Omega. That's the first thing, and that's he let him know who he was. Who's this approaching? Is this King Jesus, King God, King Holy Ghost? He said, I'm all of it. I'm from A to Z. I'm the beginning and the ending. I'm the immortal, eternal one. And then, page 102, paragraph 167. Now, let's watch him just a little further as we take the rest of verse 13 in the midst. That's the middle of the golden canvas. There's one light, the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. Gird about the paps with a golden girdle. Now, here's more proof that this doctrine is right about being the Lord's day. Did you notice him? He was not a priest during this time, neither was he king. He was judge. Notice, a priest, high priest, when he went to sanctuary or went into minister to service, he tied himself around the waist. Tying this girdle around the waist meant he was serving. Never tied it over his shoulder. But here he comes out walking, but with the girdle tied around the top, with the sash over his shoulder, girded about the paps, the breast, with a golden girdle girded up high. What is it? An attorney, the judge. The judge with his sash over his shoulder, girded up here, not down as a priest. See? That shows he wasn't in his priesthood now. John went all the way over into the Lord's day and saw him coming as a judge. You believe he's judge? Let's read John 5:22. Right quick, see whether he's judge or not. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. That's right, he is judge, a supreme judge. And John shows that he wasn't in the day of his prophecy as a prophet, neither was he plumb out into the days of his kingship, but he was in the day of the Lord as judge. Now, how many knows that the priest having his girdle, his string around his waistline, many was in service. Anyone who reads the Testament knows, the Old Testament knows that. When the priest is girded up here, he's in service, he's a servant, but girded up here, and he points, of course, above. He's a judge. Let's read a little further. Golden girdle was about the paps. That's right. Right up here, he was the judge. Page 105, paragraph 181. All right, now Daniel 7:9. I beheld until the thrones were cast down. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like pure wool, Ancient of Days. Thrown like a fiery flame, his wheels were burning fire. Fiery stream issued forth. Came from before him, thousand ministered unto him, and ten thousand stood before him. The judgment set and the books were opened, white hair. Anybody knows that's the old judge in ancient days, like English judges used to wear a snow-white wig. Old ancient judges wore a white wig because here he is showing again that John's over in the Lord's day. He saw him as judge. Not as priest, not as king, not as prophet, as judge. The Father, like in John 5:22, committed all judgment to him, and he's judge now come to judge the nations. Oh, for that day when you see him like that, his hair white as snow. Daniel saw him come in the ancient days. Watch him blend these two things together, and judgment was set, the books open. And then I beheld them because the voice of great words, which were the voice from that horn. Page 121. Paragraph 256. All right, the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Now his countenance. He was a judge. Or another thing to show that he was over in the Lord's day. Do you believe that? He went over into the Lord's day and saw the Lord as judge, not as priest, not as king, but as judge. He is the judge. Don't you believe that? The Bible says he judged. And here he was all dressed as a judge, showing what he'd done, what he was, and what he was to the sinner, what he was to the Christian. And here he stands now with the voice of many waters, and his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. 122. Paragraph 260. Don't get scared. Why should we fear? Why would the church fail to keep his or to think of his word? Let's stop here just a moment because we're closing. Why would this church ever fear? What has he ever promised that he hasn't manifested before us? Why would you fear a punishment or a hereafter? Fear not. I am he that was, that is, and will come. I'm the first and last. I have the keys of hell and death right here. Why, I've overcome and conquered both hell and death, both grave and Hades, death itself, Hades itself. For you, I've overcome it all. I have overcome hell, death, and the grave. And 124, number 269. Oh, it's breathtaking, friend. See him standing there in his supreme deity. He's the judge, the priest, the king, the eagle, the lamb, the lion, the alpha, the omega, the father, the son, the Holy Ghost. He was that which is and shall come. But that's in his incarnation, see. Tread out the winepress, the fierceness of God. And pleased everything until God said at the cross when he raised up and said, it's finished. Pleased God so till the spirit that left him came back on Easter morning, picked him up and raised him again for our justification. There John looked up and saw him standing there with feet of brass, eyes of flame of fire running to and fro throughout the earth. Daniel saw him 700 years before that in the same position, the same kind, same man standing there, ancient days, the one like the Son of Man that joined in with him and all judgments committed to him. Standing at the white throne judgment. All right. From what we have just read, I would not hesitate to say that this revelation of the judge seen in the midst of the bride is projected to the consummation of the world systems due to the seven seals that once closed the book but now open, reveal the glorious person of the incarnated God. Not as prophet, not as priest, not yet as king on earth, but judge. Now, what I'm saying here is simply that the opening of the seven seals, the revelation of the end time, is what would be required to present him to us in the position and authority of judge. And it is a transition or expediting office of the judge that we behold in the day of the Lord, because this is the day of the Lord, and he is judge. And it's really an expediting office at that particular time, which will continue, that same office continue later on after the millennium at the white throne judgment. And so from prophet to king requires the judge. From prophet to king requires the judge. And notice the Bible chronology starts with the prophet Moses, then goes into judges, and then goes into king. Moses, judges, kings. See, you came to the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, then you go into the Joshua, judges, and then into kings. Now, thus Brother Branham said prophet, judge, king, but he also said priest, judge, king. So what you're looking at there is the coming up of the two great offices which were separated will be coming together. Priest, judge, king, prophet, judge, king. The incarnation will take place manifesting him in that great position as judge. So thus we have Elohim Logos, pillar of fire, disincarnated from his body of flesh, and is here as prophet before the destruction as in Abraham's day, which preceded the day of the Lord upon Sodom. Now, what we're talking about is the Son of Man repeating. And the Son of Man is not here incarnated, but disincarnated. What we have is as when Elohim came down and appeared before Abraham, giving him the understanding of the hour, that preceded when God turned his back and went down towards Sodom. That would be the day of the Lord in judgment. We're talking in types and figures. Now, that would be speaking in terms of prophet, judge, king. But he also said priest, judge, king. And that is not Elohim disincarnated, but is the Lamb. Now, let's just begin to take a look at this so we'll understand perfectly what we're talking about. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, and you notice that each time that Brother Branham mentioned Alpha and Omega, that which was and is to come, I'm all of it, every bit of it, he never said which was dead and is alive. Because that's the flesh, where God constituted himself in a body, the nature of man, not of angels, not of pillar of fires and so on. You notice he never said that. Only a man under inspiration could preach in that order and not boo-boo. Now, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat in the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. That one is in Revelation 4. And the voice said, come up hither, I'll show you things to come. Immediately I was in the spirit, voice, verse 2, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat in the throne. Then notice in the fifth chapter, and in the third verse, sixth verse, I beheld, and in the midst of the throne, and of the beast, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. Now remember, they're looking for a man. So what you see here, you see literally one on the throne and one behind the throne. The one behind the throne is the priest. The one on the throne is Elohim. And he will assume the role of the great prophet, which he always was, and he will come down previous to the incarnation where prophet goes into judge and making the way so that priest goes into judge, which will be at the incarnation when that spirit that's in the midst of us goes up and incarnates himself. All right. So, after the hour of Elohim, Logos, pillar of fire. That's all in the realm of the Spirit, outside the incarnation or the body of His incarnation. When that is finished as prophet, He incarnates Himself as judge and then on to king. You see? All right. Quote number one, the Son of Man has already come from glory and is revealing Himself for the past few years to His church in mercy, showing them His great presence, revealing Himself like He did to Abraham before the destruction. He has come now in mercy, revealing Himself to the church. The next time He reveals Himself, it will be in judgment. There's a judge. On the world and nations that forgot God. That lines up with Genesis 18 perfectly. Number two, quote, and when the seals are broken and the mystery is revealed, down comes the angel, the messenger, Christ, setting His foot on land and sea, with a rainbow over His head. Now remember, the seventh angel is on earth at that time of His coming. At that coming. Not the other coming. That's Revelation 19. Now there's a lot of misunderstanding here, and there's going to be a lot to pay for misunderstanding this. But I'm going to tell you something, I'm sticking my neck out. If we are right, we'll be missing when the Great Tribulation takes place. If I am wrong and you believe me and you're wrong with me, we will be here and we will not die the death common to men. Let's understand this. We're serious. We're not playing a game like some of these birds running around are playing games. They're shooting their mouths off. I want you to be very serious with me. If we are right, they will be here and will not die the death common to men. You say, what happens then if He doesn't come for some time? We're gone. That obviates the whole thing, but you better believe that someone's going to be here. Amen. So we're not playing games like some people play games. I'm counting on Him being here. I'm counting on it that this is not a yo-yo experience. Like a bunch of foolhardy latter rainers who don't know if they're in, out, upside down, or in between. Quote number three, now when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnated to us, that's in our midst. The one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Spirit becomes incarnated to us. Now the Holy Spirit that we have is already incarnated. He's incarnated in us. The baptism with the Holy Ghost, He's not talking about that. This is something that you personally do not get. The prophet can and does. How much? Don't ask me. I'm not a prophet and I'm not God. I don't answer all questions. But God was in the prophets. That's enough for me. How much? Ask God. Now when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnated to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Spirit becomes incarnated to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown Him King of Kings. That's Revelation 19, right? All right. Now then, we read Daniel 7. Nine to ten, I beheld the thrones were placed. Not cast down, but the thrones were placed. It's the wrong translation. It makes you think that you're looking at something you're not looking at. Thrones were placed. The Ancient of Days did sit. Garment was white as snow, the hair of His head like pure wool, His throne like fiery flame, His wheels like burning fire, a fiery stream issued and came forth, and before Him thousand is unto Him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before Him, and judgment was set, and the books were open. 13 and 14, I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven, and came the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him, and they were given the dominion and glory, and the kingdom, and all people, nations, and language should serve Him. Dominion is everlasting dominion. It shall not pass away, His kingdom shall not be destroyed. What if that was actually the one that you see here now going to the, with the book open? I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man come with clouds of heaven. What clouds? Glory. Coming more and more into His church. More and more ready to take over. brought near, opening the seals, climbing on the throne. Let your mind go for a change. Listen to what the prophet said, put it together. The two aspects. One coming to the incarnation, one thoroughly in the incarnation. Revelation 24-6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. See, the stone thrones were placed. Judgment given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that beheaded witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon the forehead, or in their hands they lived and reigned Christ 1,000 years, rest the dead living on again 1,000 years, finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that part in the first resurrection of such a thing, and death hath no power. They'll be priests of God and of Christ and reign in him 1,000 years. All right, we again note very carefully, Daniel 7 and 10. I beheld the thrones were set, or placed. The ancient days did sit, garment was white as snow, hair of his head pure wool, thrown like the fiery flame, wheels of burning fire. Fire streamed issued forth. The last part is what we're looking at. The judgment was set and the books were opened. The books were opened. Revelation 20. Again, notice verse 12. Well, let's read 11 to 13. I saw a great white throne, him that sat, and it removes the earth, through the face of the earth, and the heaven fled away, and there's no place found for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead judged out of those things written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead richer in death and held up the dead richer in them, and judged every man according to their works, and death never cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Books. Books. Now go back to Luke chapter 4. Verses 16 to 21, he came to Nazareth, he had been brought up, and his custom was he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to proclaim the gospel of the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. And he sat down. Preached except the year of the Lord, and he closed the book, gave it to the minister, and sat down. The eyes of them in the synagogue were fastened upon him. He began to say, this day is this scripture that I read. It's fulfilled, but the book was closed. So he couldn't fulfill the rest of it. It's found over here in Isaiah 61. Where that is taken from. Where it says, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort them that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to appoint to the bride, she's in mourning, give her beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. They haven't got any false words. They're not over there in Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets come to you in sheep clothing, enter the ravening wolves. Do men gather grapes of thorns? They're known of their fruit. The trees that the Lord planted, and he planted good seed. That's nice, isn't it? Planting of the Lord, that God might be glorified that day. That day of separation. Are you glad you're separated? Amen. A fella made an ass of himself the other day, went down to see some friends of mine that believe in the message as we teach it. And he was stuffing and a stewing that I had said this message separates. quoting from the prophets in Matthew 24. So this boy went down there calling this a cult and putting in the same category as doctrines outside the Word of God. Like a little schoolboy in knee pants, tutored by a Pentecostal preacher, he said, this message does not separate, that's the rapture. So they turned to the Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and showed him that Brother Branham said, this message separates. Two in the field, one taken, one left. If you're not separated, when are you going to be separated? Come out of her, my people. You want to go to hell with her? Evidently, a lot of people do. A lot of preachers want people to go to hell with them. Closed book. The prophet God closed the book, and it stays closed until the prophet God reveals a judge by proclamation and confrontation, as he did reveal the Messiah's arrival. There was confrontation. When Messiah came in flesh, there was revelation because the book was open, which showed what Scripture was in effect. Takes the same process today. Thus the judge and king cannot be revealed and thereby become functional until the book that was sealed is open, because he had to maintain, retain and maintain his office of the acceptable year. Then the proclamation, the confrontation, would be the day of the vengeance of our God. The day of the Lord, wherein he is judge. So now you see why I said in my opening statement what I did say. That the one who is judge and king in essence and essential fact is standing in the midst of the bride as the great light and life giver, and has always been that through seven church age, and that one who's always been seven church age, but now by revelation is seen at the end time as judge, ready to be crowned king, and cannot be so until the seals are opened, because the book was shut. And he was still the Lamb that opened the book. But when the book was opened, the proclamation could be, this is the day of vengeance. The role is changing. Now, to make that very clear, we repeat, prophet, judge, king. Prophet, judge, king. John 5. Here's the authority himself, and he ought to know. 22 and 27, especially 27, for the hour the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. When that Word becomes incarnated again. Verse 27, and it given him authority to execute judgment also. To execute it. Judges don't execute. Now he's king. Bring them before me that I might slay them. You got a weak stomach? I'll bring you what the prophet said on this subject. He was shouting hallelujah to think the world was going to go up in smoke, and he was going to get out of here. I'm not trying to make you vicious. God forbid. I'd like to be much more tender and dutiful, all these things myself. But get this, friend. God doesn't have a weak stomach, except to puke over people that got weak stomachs. Can't take strong words. hath given him authority as the executor of the word. Decision. And the prosecution enforcement of decision. Because he is the Son of Man.
Hallelujah.
Prophet. Judge. King. Priest. Judge. King. Makes him eminently. Perfectly. Infinitely qualified.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Today as it was yesterday, prophet or son of man precedes the judge. So now, Luke 17, 20, 30, is prophet preceding judge when the shout is over. Then was he to man the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. He said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, here it is, there it is. It's in the midst of you, be right under your noses. All depends whether you can see it or not. Brother Branham talked to the old little boy who said, Mother, can a man see God? And she said, well, son, I don't know that I'm too qualified to ask your Sunday school teacher. Likely it was a woman. Sunday school teacher, poor kid was involved with. So went to the Sunday school teacher and she said, I don't know, son, better ask the pastor. And he wasn't too much more qualified either because I likely he'd just been to seminary. Well, he said, he hummed and he hawed and he sort of figured a little way in that way. And the poor kid was no better off except he's more soundly confused. One day he's up fishing with an old fisherman. He really loved the new God with all his heart. Little squall come up. They fished in the drenching rain. Pretty soon the sun burst forth. The rainbow was in the skies, and the old man began to cry. The boy climbed upon the old man's knee. He said, listen, he said, can a person see God? He said, son, that's all I've ever seen for the last 50 years. You can't see him present. That's not my fault. That's yours. I'm sorry for you. I didn't make you. I'm not responsible for you. All I can say is that he's here. You can see him. And you can know him if you just want him. And he said, the days will come and you'll desire to see one of the days, the Son of Man, and you'll not see it. And they'll say, go here and go there. Look here, look there. He said, don't you believe it. How many of you ever ran to see the sun come up? Well, why not? You're caught and pick a bunch of idiots. I'm ashamed of it. I'm surprised that you don't run and see the sun come up. Run, run, run. You don't have to run anywhere. The sun comes up and you stand there and its rays shine upon you. So it is that the sun that rose in the west came to the east. The camp from rather from the east came to the west. Not a one of us expected it, but we knew the sun would appear somehow. Be light at evening tide. Something had to happen. And so we didn't have to run anywhere. I didn't have to go anywhere. Brother Branham came to Canada. That's about as far west as you can get. That's right, the west coast. I was in, we went to see him in Vancouver. When I saw him, I saw God. I wasn't looking at the man. William Branham didn't impress me. Nice fella, sure. I wish I was half as nice. Let me tell you something. The only reason he was nice because there's a nice God.
Amen.
He was born in sin, shaping iniquity, coming into the world, speaking lies like anybody else. The only thing he said to his credit was he didn't commit adultery. How much can a 15-year-old boy do in the realm of adultery if he's not handy and he's not ready for it? He didn't have much of a testimony. Well, let's be honest. He didn't have any testimony. Any more than you or anybody else had. But when he stood there, I saw God. Because I wasn't looking for a man. Not that he was God, but he was God to the people, and that word was in him. You better believe it. Otherwise, how could he read those hearts, search those hearts, and know? Day will come, you're going to desire to see it, you won't see it, don't go here, don't go there, but it's light. comes out of the east and shines to the west, so the sun, so he'll be. But listen, it says before that day comes, he's got to have this day fulfilled and be rejected. But there's another day. And the day that he'll be son of man again, God, his own prophet, will be like it was in the days of Noah, which days are now before destruction. So therefore, you see, prophet, judge, king. Now, 34 to 37. He that seeks to save his life will lose it. Whosoever shall save lose his life shall preserve it. Two will be in the bed, one taken, one left. Two of them in grinding, one taken, one left. Two in the field, one taken, one left. And they said, when's that? He said, that's at the rapture. The separation is going on now. Who is the one that makes the decision who's going to be taken? Tell me, nobody but a judge. Based on what? Authoritative word.
Eh?
Can't get away from it. All right. That takes us to Revelation 22 and 10. He said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust still. He that's filthy, filthy still. He that's righteous still. He that's holy, holy still. And I'm sitting here to hand out rewards, to give penalties if necessary. I'm here to adjudicate. I've made a pronouncement. I passed a judgment. Seals are off the book. The day of the vengeance of our God. And to comfort those that mourn. No judgment, no comfort. Take your pick. Oh, I know it scares you. I know. Oh, I got to be nice. Remember years ago when it came out in the paper that President Eisenhower had made a plan whereby if the Reds came over and they were too tough for us, we had a plan laid out where we would submit. And Steve Allen and the rest of them got their necks in a sling because they said, better red than dead. Huh? And pretty soon they said, better him than me. Oh, come on. Oh, I'm too nice. Huh? When the chips are down, how nice are you? Oh, you're also nice sitting here. Now, I'm not me ragging you. I'm just bringing this out as you well know the way I teach. I'm ironical. I am satirical for the very purpose to bring it out. Oh, you're so lovely. But let somebody get $1 million, and aren't you just a little bit covetous? Oh, you dirty bunch of dogs this morning, this afternoon, sitting here before me. I sort of fixed you good, didn't I? Got this cure in you. That's what Paul said. I had not known sin except the law said, thou shalt not covet. I can't hate the thought of God's judgment. It's the only way I'm going to get out of here.
That's right.
Amen.
It's the only way I'm going to get out, then I'm sorry. Sure. I'm not gloating. I'm just telling you we got to accept certain things. If you don't accept them, you're nicer than God. You don't believe the word. I'm not trying to make you bloodthirsty. I'm only trying to help you. If some of you people are so nice and sweet here, I love you for it. You won't get me wrong because you are good people. You are born again. You have a spirit of Christ in you. You will not get me wrong. There'll be those who hear this message on tape will tear it to shreds like they did down in like what I'm saying. He preaches messages are going to bring to adultery and God knows what, but that's all right because adultery gets a lot of fun. And burning isn't, but I got news for you. Those that commit adultery will burn. You do what you want. I've taken the gloves off. I don't have any apologies anymore. In fact, I think all the tapes will go just the way they are. I'm not going to edit any of them. Why should I? The book is unsealed. The day of the vengeance of our God. Yeah. Moses one day stood before God and he said, Lord, if you kill him, he said, kill me too. But one day the false anointed arose up. Huh? the contradistinction between the truth and error, and Moses wasn't sweet anymore, because God was in Moses. The Word, and Moses said, if they die a common death, he said, common to men, and he said, I never had anything. And God said, amen, Moses, step back. And Moses stepped back, and fire came out and destroyed. But didn't destroy the censers of those men. The gifts were genuine. And there was a genuine service, but they were phonies, and they died. Judge. He said, my reward is with me, according to works. Oh, that scares you because I haven't done enough. I haven't prayed. Oh, there's nobody prayed enough. What are you trying to tell me? And I haven't done enough alms. And when you did, you gave them in the wrong place in the wrong way. So that took care of you, didn't it? You really skunked up, didn't you? Oh, you haven't got enough works. This is a message you heard in the beginning. We should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one that slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his works, his deeds were evil. So maybe your works aren't feeding the poor, after all, though that goes without saying. And maybe your works aren't going out there and preaching to sinners, though that goes without saying. And maybe your works aren't this and that, but are your works in tune with the Word, the revelation? Wherefore slew he his brother? Because his deeds were evil. And I'm going to come and judge between those who are worshiping, because it's a church he's talking about. Where do you stand with revealed word? How do you know if it hasn't been revealed to you? I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. I'm all of it. Blessed are they that wash their robes. They got the right to the tree of life. They'll enter into the gates, into the city through the gates, but without her male prostitutes. You ever seen a day like the type? We've got today male prostitutes. San Francisco is being run by a bunch of filth out there. Absolute, unmitigated filth, male prostitutes. How would you like to be the recipient of some male's love, you males? My God, makes you puke. Dirty, rotten filth. Don't think they don't know better. They do. And just start likening that to preachers. Filth of the universe. Can you tell me God won't destroy this Sodom and Gomorrah condition? Why, that was one little pocket. Two little pockets. This is worldwide. The judge of a little tiny elect group. And the judge of a few people on the plains came down and he said, I'm going to just burn it to a crisp. Now it's worldwide. Whoremongers. Murderers. Cain, see? Idolaters. Who loves and makes the lie. You know something? What is a lie? A lie does not stand by itself, my brother, sister, neither does it have a source. No, no, no. A lie has never had a true source. It is the truth corrupted.
Amen.
Where is it corrupted today? Back in Pentecost and never before. I, Jesus, have sent my angel, to testify to you these things of churches. I am is now incarnated, and he's the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Even the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come where? Come to the opening of the seals. Come stand before the prophet judge. Come stand in view of the kingdom. There's where life is. Death is every place else. No place else can you find it. Thus we see A repeat of Genesis 18 as in Abraham's day. Elohim, messenger, prophet, judge, separating and dividing the elect from the non-elect in judgment unto condemnation falling on the earth. All right, you don't know this, but so I'm going to tell you. This is this long dissertation of over 30 minutes, is it? When do we start? Two to you, over 30 minutes is preface number one. Now comes preface number two. Over a year ago, I brought out what I felt to be keys in the understanding of the Scripture. Number one of which was the principle of the Alpha and Omega. So it's very easy to understand. If you can see something going on today, what was done way at the beginning, you say, that's it, it's all over. That's God. You can place yourself. Another one was what the Bible was written for this hour. Especially the New Testament. Don't you dare read it any other way. Or you'll blow it. See? Why? Because it's a restored word. All of it's been restored. And Israel's only got 3.5 years. So cool it. That's where one of the master adulterers of all time in this message, a great German professor. That's all it was a profession. He denounced the prophet because he could read the Bible himself. Three and a half years to go is all Israel's got. God dealing with them. They're just sitting there now like sitting ducks. Oh, Brother Dale, 7 years of this, 7 years of that. Forget it, 3.5. Read the Bible in the light of the hour. Israel's only got 3.5, and the book of Revelation tells you about it. So don't get heady and high-minded think you got answers when the prophet said different. Or you'll end up in adultery. You already was in it. It's just the physical's nothing. That just shows you what your spiritual shape was. It's like Brother Branham said, sure, a man goes down the street and sees a woman all decked out to attract bait. Why, he said, any red-blooded man will get an idea, but a son of God will turn his head without carrying the idea. Preacher, I was told one day about a certain preacher in a hotel. Evidently, they were certain women of the streets were prowling up and down the corridors, rapping the doors. And so when he knew that, he kept his door shut. But the third time the rap came, he said to himself, she raps one more time, I'll open the door to her. Red-blooded man, child of God, red-blooded man, but I don't know what a child of God he was. Maybe he was, I don't know, I can't judge him, but that's just not right, something's wrong somewhere. Well, the rap never came, so he got taken care of that way. That's, God was good to whoever that guy was. Yeah, you turn your head. All right. One of the other precepts was, and I'm going to talk about this one, is what I call the great parallelism of Scripture, wherein we see two separate people with two separate descriptions or pronouncements or destiny set forth at one time and in one breath and in the same verse. Especially the same chapter. And it confuses many readers because they think that the Word is talking to only one group of people. So they get fouled up. And then they get lost and found alternately. Up and down, in and out, hot and cold, and very confused. And this misunderstanding has fathered legalism and distrust. Then programs and pride to compensate and failure in the end. Because that's all it could breed. The parallelism of Scripture. Blessing and cursing running side by side. Okay, not on one people, but two peoples. Isaiah. Beginning at chapter 24 and verse 9. Then they shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter than the drink. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. There is crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation. The gate is smitten with destruction. And thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people. There shall be shaking as an olive tree, and as the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, and they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud in the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the name of the, verify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord of Israel in the isles of the sea. Now in there, what's it sound like? Sounds like, first of all, he's taking up a great big rod, and he's beating the brains out of somebody. Then he turns right around. It's like the, you know how kids do with the dog. Yep. Come on, boy. Come on, boy. The dog gets hurt. Wham! He hits it. Poor dog runs up. Yup, 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 yup. So you think I'll fool him again. So, come on. Oh, come on, boy. Come on, boy. I didn't mean it. Come on, boy. Yep, stupid dog comes right there. And bam! Yup, 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 yup. Dog goes on. That's not God. He's not pulling a come here puppy thing here. He's talking of two groups of people. One under the blessing, one under the curse. From the utmost part of the earth we have heard songs, even the glory of the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe to me. The treacherous deed hath dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous deed hath dealt very treacherously. Fear in the pit and the snare upon the inhabitant of the earth. These same people aren't going to go down into any pit. You got a yo-yo God. You don't have any yo-yo God. There's not some animal here. Now, man could be this way, but God's not this way. Come to pass that he that flees the noise of he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall in the pit. And he that comes out of the midst of the pit shall be taken a snare. For the wind is from on high, or open the foundation of the earth to shake. The earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, the earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and be removed like a cottage. The transgression thou shalt be heavy upon it shall fall and not rise again. It'll come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they'll be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and be shut up in prison. After many days it shall be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and Jerusalem before his ancients gloriously. He's not reigning over those. That's the other one that he had mercy extended to. Now, O Lord, thou art my God, I'll exalt thee, I'll praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. And counsels of old are, and thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Not come here, doggy, so I can kick you. Yeah. For thou hast made a city a heap, a defended city a ruin, a palace of strangers, to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength for the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of terrible ones is the storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers. Such confusion, nobody knows what to do, but the bride knows what to do. She doesn't run around like a chicken with her head cut off. And a God that said, come on, puppy, come on, wham! Oh, come here, nice puppy. Come on! This is allowed parallelism in Scripture. This is that same one. This says, come unto me and rest. Inherit the kingdom. Who turns and says, depart from me, I never ever knew you. What do you got? You got a judge here. And you got the judge throwing the sentence into the lap of the executor, and he's the king. Isn't that what it says here? Talk about a king? I thought it did. He's going to reign, isn't he? That's got to be a king. Bring down the noise of strangers. That's all they do, make a lot of noise. They're bluff just like the devil. As the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible one should be brought low. In this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make all his people a feast of fat things. A feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of the marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. Now this is talking of our day. He will swallow up in this mountain
the face of the covering cast over all the people, and the veil was spread upon all nations. The seven seals are open, and he'll swallow up death in victory. That's the Bible for this hour. You understand what I'm saying? Parallelism and Scripture, two lines of thinking for two lines of people, and God stands there. And he said, come ye blessed, go to those that don't belong. This is based on Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 32. You follow me? You with me? Well, I can't waste my time now. Let's get down to business here. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. How are you going to do it except you be in the vine? All Israel's not Israel. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you're not his children. Bunch of church members. A curse of them not to obey the commandments of your Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you, to be after other gods, which ye have not known. How can you do that if the revelation brings the one and only true living God to your sensibilities by revelation? And you're joined to him. How are you going to be cursed? See, this is what fosters legalism. They don't understand. Then the next thing, they begin a works program. And they get full of pride. Then they say, look at me. Oh, I'm a wonderful guy. My wife is in obedience. She said, how does he know? The foundation of God stand assured. The Lord knows them which are his. Oh, all my kids are in. Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm a successful businessman. I knew the prophet. I went around the world. I've done this and I've done that. Then dig up Brother Branham's bones and his body, defecate in the middle of it. I know you know what I'm talking about. Defecate means have a bowel movement. Yeah. Then burn him. Oh, because I'm the great man. Because Brother Branham couldn't say that about his kids when he died. He wondered about Billy Paul. Played the tape. He said, he'll be coming in here one day when I'm in a pine box, crying too late. Oh, we got some great men in the land today. Or have we? You better look in the law and just see what you are, which is nothing but a punk, no good jerk. And take a look in the revealed word and see who can take your place. And in his beauty you'll shine. Where is boasting? It's excluded. These guys that talk so big, I'd like to see them get their wives pregnant, she 90 and him 100. Then I'll believe you got something. In the meantime, you ain't half the man you think you are. Oh, merciful God, such... Don't come around me, brother, sister. No. It'll come to pass when the Lord thy God has brought thee into the land whither thou goest, this thou put the blessing upon Gerizim, the curse upon Mount Ebal. And they that are on the other side of Jordan, by the way the sun goes down, the land of Canaanites. Now we're in the land where the sun goes down. Oh, yeah. We're going to go into possessed land. And there's a blessing and a cursing. Yeah, he that's righteous, righteous still. He that's holy, holy still. And he that's unrighteous, unrighteous still. And he that's dirty, dirty still. Judge said so. Yep. Yeah. This is also Romans 2, 3 to 11. I hate to be nasty, but these guys got nasty first. Now, thank you, Bill. It's the truth. I got a good deacon here. Like the boy that sits at the back. That's right. You keep that back door. These boys up front keep the front door. That's the truth. God being my judge. And I'll still steal hand tell you the truth. You throw me a spitball, I'll pick it up and spit and throw it right back. It's your tough luck, not mine. You asked for it. You got a bad reaction because you gave the wrong action. That's where sin lies, not in the reaction. It lies in the action. Because I'm just a weak vessel, and I know one day God will help me. In the meantime, he ain't seen fit, or I haven't seen fit to take his help. One of the two, I don't know what it is. I won't blame God, but the point is this, I mean, I ain't going to lie about it. Verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them that do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. You what things? What history proves ends up in carnality and destruction. Have after hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. That's this hour. It's been a long time coming. Who will render every man according to his deeds? That's Revelation 22 that I read to you. 10, 11, 12, 13. To them who by patience continues in well doing seek for glory and honor, immortality, and eternal life. They got the revelation. Not as king that was that wicked one who slew his brother, wherefore slew he him because he deeds were evil. Religiously destitute of spirituality. But unto them that are contentious, obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, wrath. That's Cain. That's this hour. Tribulation, anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. That's Cain. To the Jew first and now the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good to the Jew first, also Gentile. For with God there's no respect to person. Certainly not. There's no respect to person. He respects his word. And if you're part of his word, you got it. Psalm 18. Except this is a long message, I just feel like getting up and leading the hallelujah march and going home. I feel great. Verse 25, with the merciful thou shalt show thyself merciful, with the upright man you'll show yourself upright, with the pure show yourself pure, with the froward you'll show yourself froward. Who needs Elijah? Who needs this? Revelation 22 and 10 are read to you. The book's open. Let's go to Hebrews 10 instead. Oh, he's reading Revelation 10 again once I read it. You've got good memories. You've got good minds. By now, you know those verses as well as I do or better. 10, 26 to 31. For if we sin willfully, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Now that doesn't tell you anything about a sacrifice, except couch in terms of truth. God loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, the world should not be condemned, this is a condemnation like men of the world, men love darkness rather than light, the deeds are evil, therefore they're gone. Sacrifice doesn't mean a thing. So it tells you the sacrifice doesn't mean a thing. Once there's a knowledge of the truth, thy word is truth. But a certain fearful looking forward to indignation, that shall devour the adversary. The blood can be on the mercy seat. What does it matter? Won't do you any good. You don't take the truth? He that despised Moses' law died without mercy and truth of innocence. Right. How much sore punishment shall he think you shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant who sanctified an unholy thing and done death with the Spirit of grace. Now hold it, he's talking about truth in the blood. He was, I bleed the blood, then trampled underfoot the truth. It was a bleeding word that died for us. It was the life of the Logos that came out and died went for us. That life that God put in there. What are they talking about? Now there's a fearful looking for of judgment and a vengeance. I'll recompense, saith the Lord. Recompense what? They talked about the blood and turned down the word. What is a bleeding, dying word that died for them? How can you separate the two? How can you talk about blood and then deny the life? And say you got a sacrifice. Like when you got a sacrifice? You've got an article of condemnation that'll speak against you. Because the blood speaks. The blood judges. Hebrews 6 and 1. And more of it. Leaving the principle of doctrine of Christ, go on to perfection. Come right to the time when that which is perfect is here. No more parts. It's all here. It's all done. Everything to come on down is coming to the church. justification, sanctification, restoration, gets baptism, Holy Ghost. Now, full word, restoration of word. When full word is restored, then he's here. The full measure of what God wanted to pour in the church. Then that leaves him alone to come down. God doesn't pour and have his whole self in the church, where he, and then God dissipate himself amongst people, and the church would be God. Church has got a head. The head of the church is Christ, the head of Christ is God. Where do people get their theology anyway? Hogwash. When it's all here to be poured in, there's only one thing left, capstone, then he comes down. And takes every loose string. The first thing that comes in subjection to God is God's own word in the people is lined up. Now the life in the body, which is the body of Christ, begins to move them in to where the dead can come out of the ground. We'll talk about that later. I'm going to get to it now. All right, that was the purpose come. So what do? Doctrines. It's no longer a word, it's reality. You don't even worry about the resurrection. Are you going to make the resurrection? Hogwash, you're going to make a resurrection. You're not even going to die. Oh, brother, sister. Say, hey, are you going to go down there to such and such a town? No, I'm going to bypass it. I'm going to go right to the other town. Now, this brings us to preface number 2 concluded. The parallelism of Scripture. So we go back to Revelation 1, 1 and 10, 12 to 18. Which, I don't suppose even need to read that. Let's go back anyway. All right. First verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his messenger unto his servant John. All right. 10th verse. And I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day and heard behind a great trumpet. And I turned and I saw what he saw in verses 12 to 18. We read it. All right. Here we see the priest turned judge entering into his millennial reign. Now he's coming into it. Because he's finished one facet and he's got to go to the other. But before he goes to the other, there's got to be a separation. Now the scripture tells you that. Paul said that I have not apprehended what I want to apprehend, but he said I'm apprehended for it. And he said, I want to get to the out-resurrection from among the dead. I want to come out, and the rest are going to stay there where I come out. Now, Paul, you're not very nice. Oh, what a horrible creature you are, Paul. Now, listen, Paul. If God doesn't bring everybody out, you ought to be nice and say, well, I'll just stay there with them. I don't think Paul was too nice. He had a fight with Barnabas. I like these guys that ain't so nice. They don't mess you up. They set the record clear. Yeah, there's a clear record around that. You know they're going to bite you. You don't have to worry twice. But you don't get hydrophobia. You know, there's a... Abraham Lincoln was told about a certain guy. Was it Grant or somebody that was a drunkard and what have you? And the fellow said, he's insane. Well, he said, if he's insane, I wish he'd bite some of the rest of you. You know, like hydrophobia. Get the guy bit to become good generals like him. Was it Grant? I don't know. Couldn't it be? I guess it wasn't. I can't remember my history that good. All right. Here we see the priest turned judge entering the millennial reign. Here, though, there are two sides or parallels of Scripture as usual. And especially now, because if a judge is present, there has to be two sides. Or who needs a judge? It is man against man or state against man. The kingdom of God against those who want to be in, or against those who violate, or a man against man, or who needs a judge. Revelation 7, let's see the parallelism of Scripture here. 7, 13 to 17. One of the elders answered, saying, what are these that are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? And I said, sir, I don't know, but you do. And he said, these are they that came out of great tribulation, washed the robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore these are they before the throne of God, serve him day and night and give him. And he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. And they're going to hunger no more and thirst any more. Neither light shine on them nor any heat, for the Lamb in the midst in the throne shall feed them and lead them unto living waters, fountain of waters, and God will wipe away all their tears. Now that's good. Let's take a peek now, 12 to 16. Sixth chapter. Here's the sixth seal open. Earthquake. Sun black as sackcloth of hair. Moon become blood. Stars fall to the earth. Fig tree casts untimely figs. Chain of mighty wind. The heavens depart as a scroll. Mountains begin tumbling down. Kings of the earth and great men and rich men and chief captains and mighty men and bondmen and free men hide themselves in dens. And say, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand? That's when he's judged. Alright, here's two groups of people. Why? Because he was judged. Why was he judged? Because he was the Son of Man. You see, what you're getting is a progression, an unfolding, greater, deeper manifestation, more wonderful, greater glory. And as he reveals and unfolds himself, we become recipients of his greater glory. You'd be a fool to turn it down. There'd be something wrong with you. See? All right. So now we finally get to the title of the message, The Day of the Lord. Two prefaces in an hour and 10 minutes. Not bad. The Day of the Lord. That is the time involved. That is a period that is described in various scripture, such as Isaiah 2, 12 to 19, Isaiah 13, 2 to 11. Let's go to Isaiah 2. All right, 12 to 19. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty. That's what it says in Malachi. Everyone that's lifted up, and he should be brought low. And upon the cedar of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon the oaks of Bashan. That talks of great men in those various countries. Upon all the mountains and upon all the hills lifted up. That's again governments. Every high tower, government. Every fenced city. See? Upon all the ships of Tarshish. Upon all the pleasant pictures. As the loftiness of the man should be bowed down. Haughtiness of the man should be low. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Okay, big shots, praise your stuff. I'd like to sit under a pastor that said that Brother Branham made mistakes. He just guessed when he first began to discern. Quote. You want the tape? I'll get it for you. I said, Brother Vail, don't mention names. Oh, I just do returning the favor. He mentioned mine. Oh, that doesn't really give me any reason to do it, but I'm going to tell you something. I want you to know what's going on in this land. And they say they believe a prophet. The prophet hundreds of times said, find me one time that ever made a mistake. And he said, the only reason when I say comes to pass by vision is because I'm the only one that can tell it exactly as I saw it. There's a nice brother down here in Cincinnati said, Brother Branham came to his room in 1964 in Dallas, Texas, when Brother Branham had a meeting in Souls Harbor with this boy's father. He said at 2 o'clock in the morning he came in the room. And this boy was lying in bed at 18 years of age reading a magazine on sports. He said Brother Branham came in there and said that his mantle, Elijah's mantle, would fall on him. But the other day, some people from Macon came up there, because this man just phoned me. And this boy can even tell people their dreams now. Interesting. But he said, this woman, you have rheumatoid arthritis in your heel, but she wasn't. He couldn't tell us it was, because it isn't. He's discerning and he's guessing. Then who needs the prophet? I can tell you one thing. If William Branham guessed, then God wasn't there. And God isn't here. Now, why would people tell things like that? Oh, it's very simple. So when they start to discern and make mistakes, it's perfectly all right. Because they've been well taught by a certain man that you can practice gifts. How can you practice a gift? especially gift of God. Thorough misunderstanding of some of the things Brother Branham said. I bring these things out. Look, I care less anymore. I just sit home here. And I talk to a few of you people, and you're stupid enough to like it, and that's fine by me. Nice bunch of people, but a little bit soft in the head or something. And the funny thing is the tapes go plumb around the world, and they don't lift a finger. That makes everybody mad, because they've got to run, not run anywhere. Oh, I'm thinking of taking a vacation, but I don't know. A couple of days off somewhere, just with my head in the sand might be just as good. It's in the sand most of the time anyway. All right. High mountains are brought low, every high tower. Idols utterly destroyed. They'll go into the holes in the rocks, the caves of the earth, for the fear of the Lord, for the glory of His majesty, when He arrives to shake terribly the earth. Now that's going on now! Just waiting for the great tribulation. He's risen with healings, but you wait till He rises to shake the earth. Right now we've got a high priest, thank God. But you wait. And you continue waiting because as He is crowned king and is judge, executing authority, and it gets worse and worse here on earth, He appears to the Jews. And 144,000 are locked in. There's no need of any more high priest. No need of any more except wrath, judgment, wrath. And the bride comes down and confronts them. And like I read you, we will literally slay the wicked. You say, Brother Bale, I'm a little bit squeamish. Cursed be man who keeps his sword from drawing blood. I'm not saying like some of these nuts, the Abernathys who said, oh, I'm just waiting to really find out who serpent seed is, and I've got my guns, I'll go shoot him. I'm not shooting anybody. Now, shooting at anybody particularly, although you might think so, I'm just letting you know, look, God didn't ask you to sit in a conference and ask what you would like to have done. He told you what is being done. See? Now I want to tell you something. The scripture says in the day of the Exodus was a day of provocation because they proved me, which means they did not approve of me. Are you approving of God this afternoon? Or are you a little bit squeamish? You say, I don't know. I'm a sweet little mother. I've raised children. Yeah. Well, yeah to you. Your sweet little mother's spirit going to rise up against God's spirit? Not any more than my bulldozing spirit's going to make God bulldoze. And I really am not a bulldozer. You know that as I preach rough. When I'm gone, I'm gone. You know, I talk to you people privately. You know, I just draw my horns in. As soon as I'm out of this pulpit, I draw my horns in. You do what you want. We'll sit down and have a bowl of soup and a couple of crackers. Up here, I crack your head. Down there, we crack crackers. I got no fight with anybody. You know that. You know, you got to get awful deep with me to take my hat off and really go to town with you. There's only a couple of men in my life I've ever really locked horns with. I'm 68 years of age. I don't think it went even to two men. One man once. I read him the Riot Act, and that was it. Never should have done it, but I did. 13th chapter of Isaiah. No, I don't have a bellicose spirit up here to try to get back at people as far as I know, but I'm preaching the Word of God. I want you to know something's going on. The Bible said we're supposed to know what's going on. The prophet said all was going, looking ahead, all was looking back, don't know what's going on. I'm trying to show you what's going on. I'm reading the scripture. You don't know, you do know what's going on. Because if you don't know what's going on, there's something wrong somewhere. He's risen with mercy. He's risen upon us. He's in the midst of us. I can show you more than one place where Brother Brand said the baptism of the Holy Ghost was just temporary. Isaiah 13. Lift up the banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the land, they may go into the gates of the nobles. I've commanded my sanctified ones. I've also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness, the noise of multitudes of the mountains, like as a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kings of the nations, gathered together. The Lord of hosts musters the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the ends of heaven, from It's not Israel. Tens of heaven, he said. And from the Lord. Even from the Lord. Even the Lord. And the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Hallelujah, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore all hands shall be faint, every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid, pangs and sores take hold, and that's Revelation. They'll be as a faint, a woman in travail. They shall be amazed one another. Faces shall be as a flame. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel both in wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners out there, thereof. He said, I'm going to come and destroy the whole earth if I don't send Elijah. And when I come with him, I'll rise with healing in my wings. This is not healing, this is destruction. And we're coming back with him. Oh, I just couldn't do that. You will. You will, or you haven't got anything. No. The bride, she's like a terrible as an army with banners. Bible says so. She stands up and she's counted. She doesn't say, oh, I wonder who's preaching this. And if some of the big shots will get together because it's so nice to be a big shot. Well, I ain't a big shot. I said to the prophet the day a certain man phoned and phoned and phoned. And one day he said, look here, he said, Brother Dale, I'll have you to know. He said, I'm not some little preacher down here in some little church on the corner. I'm so-and-so at the big church. So I relayed the message to Brother Branham. Oh, he said, Lee, he said, we can't go. Oh, we just can't go. I said, why not? Oh, he said, Lee, he's too big for us. Prophet of God. Amen, Brother Bill. Oh, I hope you hear us talking. We're for you 100%. And for the God you served, I hope so. All right. The stars of heaven and the constellation of shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkness going forth. The moon and the clock not give her light. I'll punish the word for the evil. Remember Cain, whose deeds were evil. The wicked for his iniquity. I'll cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. Will lay low the haughtiest, the terrible. I'll make a man more precious than gold and so on. Yeah. How far am I going to read? That was to 13, 2 to 11. That's good now. All right. Now, to give an example of a day fulfilled, to see what is to come, or to what is come, see our day fulfilled, what is come, let's go to Jeremiah 46, 10 to 14. Look, don't go taking up clubs me preaching like this, because you know I'm not going to do it either. I'm just telling you why I preach, and I'm putting it in a way that no one can mistake me. If they mistake me, that they do it on purpose. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says they'll do it. They are willfully ignorant of what's going on. The Bible says willfully ignorant. Why? Because they say, well, you believe a prophet. What kind of a prophet? An Exodus prophet. And God's got to be there. And not God just in a prophet. Because that's only a portion, as far as I know. And not just in you and me, that's minuscule. That's like the infinitesimal drop of sperm, of which 15,000 go across the cross-section of one hair of your head. I'm talking about Him, the Creator of the ends of the world. God is here. Yes, sir. 46:10. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, the day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. The sword shall devour. It'll satiate and made drunk with blood. Angels don't have blood. Devils don't have blood.
People have blood. Well, I'm nicer than God. Can't stand the sight of blood. The Lord of hosts hath a sacrifice. He's going to kill it. In the north country by the river Euphrates, go up, O Gilead, take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, thou shalt not be cured. From what? This. The nations have heard thy shame and thy cries fill the land. For the mighty man has stumbled against the mighty, and they have fallen both together. The word that the Lord spake to Jeremiah the prophet, how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, should come and smite the land of Egypt. Declare in Egypt, and publish in Migdol, and publish in Nophin, and Tapanes,
and say, stand ye fast, prepare ye, for the sword shall devour round about thee. Why are there mighty men valiant swept away? They stood not because the Lord did drive them. He made many to fall. So on, right down there, the same thing coming again. Why do you think the Bible mentions that the blood's going to ride, going to be deep as the horse's bridle in the valley? I figured that at one time, didn't I? Told you how many cubic feet of blood that would be. So many furlongs. They turned down blood. They turned down the life of the blood. They blaspheme him. They deny him. He's the judge. Okay, read these for yourself. Joel 2, 1 to 6. Amos 5, 16 to 20. Malachi 4, 1 to 6. 2 Thessalonians 5 and 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 8. 2 Peter 3 and 10. That tells you about this hour. Tells you about those he takes in and those he rejects. Now remember, I'm not doing this. God is doing it. I don't have a thing to do with it. All I got to do is talk about it. So the people's minds may be straightened up. Now it's absolutely impossible to take these scriptures and disassociate them from Genesis 18. That's when God appeared before Abraham. And Luke 17, that's when the Son of Man comes on the scene. And Matthew 24, that's again when the Son of Man comes on the scene. In the one place he is absolutely revealed. Apocalypse. In the other, it lets you know he's present or he couldn't be revealed. And he's making the difference right now. The same one says, I'm separating this, I'm separating that, says, I'll take this, I'll take that. Not a yo-yo that comes down with a shout, goes up for the voice, goes up again, come on down again. But the same does all three in descending. Of course, they don't want to believe that. Why take away their glory? I'll tell you what, the only thing I feel about the presence of God is shame and wickedness, as far as I'm concerned myself. Except I know what he came to do, and I'll give him credit, which is changed into his image. I'm going to tell you one thing, as far as I know, he's not going to vomit me out either. He doesn't vomit by what I preach. I sure hope not. With the prophet on the scene, it is inevitable. The judge is next. But the seeds of the judge are in the prophet, for Elohim is one who becomes. In other words, the constant unfolding. As Brother Branham said, revelation, number one, in order to unfold. And when that which is perfect is come and the revelation is complete and he is here and we see him, the next thing is what? Preeminence. First of all, it must be preeminence by way of the word, the revelation, and the attitude, and the acknowledgement. Then will come him working out in us. As manifest as sons, whatever he wants to work out, don't ask me, I don't know. But it'll come. In fact, the judge is simply the prophet instituting for the people the authority of the word, and demanding that the consequences, both good and bad, be followed through. Which is where the king comes in. For he is the power on the throne. Remember, we crown him king at his incarnation for the wedding supper. Okay, so the seals opened and bring into view the judge. Bring into view the judge, the consummator. Thus, in February of 65, the judgments of God started to strike the earth. At the word of the prophet, William Branham. And he said, the judgments of God are in the earth. Amen. That's exactly true. This established to all mankind the truth of this hour and his presence. It is thus now today the day of the Lord is in transition. God is now dealing with the elect and non-elect. And soon a bride will preach to souls that are in prison. Now, these people got a 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the physical return. The prophet said that one, the shout was a missing.
If Jesus comes down here with the message, that means to the souls that are now in prison, he can't do it. The bride does it. So it's not physical. It's spiritual. See? That's where he's here in spirit. You know, let's face it. He said, I want you to know this for sure, that you that listen to this tape might have thought today I was trying to say that about myself, seeing I was packing this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing, no more than just a voice. And whose message is it? God's message. Whose voice is it? William Branham's message. I was only standing there. I wasn't the one that appeared down here in the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things. As per the eye, I'm only the one that's near when he does it. I was only the voice he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew, it's what I surrendered myself to, that he spoke through.
Said it's not a man, it's God. Tells you right there. All right, then where is he? Show me your nail prints. Hogwash. There's no nail prints in the spirit.
The Lamb took the book and climbed on the throne, waiting to be incarnated. So that he who is prophet and judge in spirit,
and has started the great work which is going to end in the consummation of the millennium, the white throne in New Jerusalem, and the great infinite eternities of God. We're just waiting for his incarnation. And then he disincarnates himself when he wants to, because Brother Brand said he's in a pillar of fire above the throne of the Lamb. I got no trouble. People think I preach a couple of gods. I don't know what they preach. Every man for his own choice.
Both birth pains are now in process of bringing forth both pain and a son in the flesh.
Birth pains to bring forth the great tribulation that started, and to bring forth the son to get us out of here, so the day of the Lord is coming more and more into view. Brother Branham and Sabina Canyon up there. When the school kids saw that amber cloud, Brother Branham doesn't tell anybody. I don't know why he doesn't tell people, but there's no place in the tape where he tells it. But they didn't see one cloud, they saw two clouds. One was an amber cloud and one was a black cloud. A cloud of light and a cloud of darkness. Light and judgment. The same as came to Moses. Those who saw themselves as they were, dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, liars. Of course, they didn't believe it. That's what came forth in that cloud of darkness, that without our dogs, whoremongers, sorcerers, adulterers, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, but inside bride. The amber cloud of light leading us in. When that cloud passes over, there are two sides to that cloud. One is light and one is dark. And the light that led Israel across was the same blackness that stopped Egypt. One was life and one was death. But Brother Branham doesn't talk about it. We ought to know it anyway, because to him was given the power of life and death. Every prophet has the power of life and death. For the word of God is there giving life and death. All right. That day of the Lord is in plain view. And I say so confidently, because of Brother Branham's message, which he got when he was in Sabina Canyon, when the two clouds stood there. And one was, I forgive them who believe this message. Their adulteries are gone. No more male prostitutes. No more dogs. No more sorcerers. Peddling wrong prescriptions and medicines. The carnality that'll destroy. No more adulterers. No more those who love and tell a lie. And I said for years, you watch these guys who tell lies. No more Holy Ghost than nothing. Started right back on just this side of the garden. It started in the garden when Satan told his blooper. Now, Brother Branham discerned. There's no two ways about it, but he didn't guess. Now, that's a lie.
Amen.
Now, that's a lie. Do you realize that he's trying to destroy the vindication you and I stand on? Where is he going to take you? Where are these men going to try to take you? They try to accuse me of building a kingdom of this number, and I felt better when there's only half of you here the other day. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. That's just old Eve Ale, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not trying to take you anywhere. Where would I take you? Where I have been? Merciful God, I haven't even had a good time in sin. I've just had enough sin to make me miserable, knowing I got caught in some junky kind of junk. Like taking an aspirin with a bottle of beer, which I never did take either one. But that is together. So you get a real high as though you had some genuine scotch or something. Where would I take you? Could I take you higher than you are now? Ha, ha, ha. You're higher than I am already. You're nicer, sweeter, everything else. Where would I take you? What would I do for you and with you? Hogwash. These guys talk like a bunch of old washed fish women out there in the market, and they smell like it too. Brother Branham's message on marriage and divorce we brought back, and he said, you're forgiven for your unfaithfulness. Now, let me begin to tell you something. Listen carefully. The day of the Lord. In the 4th century B.C., the word Lord began to have two fixed meanings. Understand what I'm saying now? The day of the Lord. Talking about the day of the Lord, right? Talking about the judge. Talking about this. Talking about that. Bring it all. Now bring it all together the best we can. Okay? We're going to give some thoughts here. What this sermon's all about. Okay. The word Lord. Taken from John saw him in the day of the Lord. Lord. In the 4th century. As the lawful owner of a slave. A. B. The Lord of subject people. C. Master of the house in the sense of one put in charge with certain things under him. Number 2 means Lord as the legal guardian of a wife or girl. Both of these fixed concepts of the title Lord are used in the sense of one who has full authority with the implied idea of legitimacy. The word or title Lord is used in the sense of one who has full authority with the understanding that it is legitimate. You following? Not something that's been coerced. Not something taken by advantage, not something by hypocrisy, but legitimate. This is the true one. The legally empowered one, then, his master, over his own house, with the house subject to him or under him, and he legally entitled to be that lord. And as the legal rightful guardian of that house, he's the guardian of a wife or a daughter. We can see where this fulfills Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Okay. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, that's what he is. He's the Lord of glory. Of the increase of government and peace shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom ordered. To establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth forever. Even the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do perform this. Thus, from this moment on, from the relevancy of Scripture and the basic understanding of the terminology, we are calling the day of the Lord by a rightful synonym, which is the day of the husband. Because that's exactly what it is. The day of the husband. And he's there of supreme judge, supreme prophet, legally absolute owner, with 100% right with that entire house completely subject to him. And that house, by the way, is his wife. Now, what right a preacher's got to try to boss around the woman that belongs to God? No man has a right to talk to my wife outside of me. No man. There are too many preachers so-called in this message who will talk to any woman without the husband. Run her down, say anything he wants. He can't do it. I don't care if he's a preacher who he is. There's one person got the legal rights, and that's the husband. And this one is the legal husband. All right? Headship is here. Amen. There is a Lord. It's here in the same power of his resurrection that he ever manifested himself. In the evening time it shall be light. That's prophet. That's when comes Christ. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, comes down. Sets himself at the head of his wife. He said church. That's his building. Yep. Then he will raise the dead. Resurrect. Then he will resurrect the dead. Or the church, being rather the church, being his own body. Rapture taken. In this way we shall see the parallelism of Scripture that we mentioned as a principle. We go to 2 Corinthians. 11th chapter. Reading verses 2 or 4 or whatever it is, starting at 2. I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband. I married you to one man, that I may present you to that one man to whom I've married you, which is a virgin, chaste, to the pure Christ. But I fear, as many means of the serpent beguiled you through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, if you receive another spirit that we have not received, another gospel which we have not accepted, he might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chief apostle, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. In other words, he's telling you this, that God himself thoroughly proved who he was, and Paul thoroughly proved who he was, so there is no mistake. The marriage was a valid marriage between God and a bride. Now, the virgin wife. Now remember, she is a virgin wife because espousal means marriage. And the spouse means a wife. Or vice versa. But usually wife. The virgin wife does not heed 1 Corinthians 6, 13b to 20. Okay, for the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath raised up the Lord, will also raise up in his own power. Know ye not your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that she that is joined to an harlot is one body? For two says, he shall be one flesh. So you think God's going to join himself to a harlot? No way. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now God's going to join himself to somebody. And it's going to be one spirit. The same spirit that raised him has got to be in us. Because that was what was in him. In order that we'll be one. He that joined the Lord is one spirit. Free fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that commits fornication sinneth against his own body. Now that's the original sin against the body, which is both physical and spiritual body. And fornication is believing the lie.
and entering into a union to produce life by it. And it won't. It produces death. So if the bride is ever going to live, she's got to have a restored word. That's why Brother Branham said, nothing outside this message will come to life. How could it? Because this brings death. Know ye not, your body, temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, you're not your own. You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, and your spirit, which are God. That tells you that. How Eve got out of the way was listening to the word of the enemy. What drove Cain to do what he was taking the word of the enemy. All right. Now, she does not listen. She goes to 1 Corinthians 6:13 to 20, and like Eve in the garden, hearkens to the same serpent and the same persuasion, and loses her virginity to another than her husband. That is Revelation 2, 4 to 6, if I got the right one. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. You've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Repent and do the first works. What's repent? Change the mind. And then what? You go back to serving God through the revealed word. No more creeds and dogmas. No more getting a leading apart from the word of God and calling it God. I'll remove your candlestick. He said, there's one thing I do admit. You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. But that's not enough. 1 Timothy 2. Verses 11 to 14. But let the woman learn in silence, and all with all subjection. Suffer not a woman to teach and usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed in Eve. He was not deceived, but the woman being the transgression, being deceived was in the transgression, notwithstanding she saved in childbearing. They continue in faith and charity and holiness and with sobriety. All right. She goes from Revelation 3:14. She goes from there, rather, to Revelation 3:14, which, you know, she's wretched, miserable, naked, blind. She's naked, caught in her adultery, but thinks she's all right. And watch what happens over here in 1 John, 2nd chapter, 26-28. These things are written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received to him abides in you, need any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches all things of truth, no lie, he is that has taught you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in that truth. And when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him in his presence. In other words, caught having intercourse with another man. Now listen, there's only one real man. That's a husband, that's God, he's spirit. And he gave the word. And there's only one other man who'll mess with you. That's the other spirit that incarnates in a man. He transforms his messenger to angels of light. And the church is caught listening to other than what the prophet gave. The vindicated word. So here they are found. And the church, in spite of John's prayer, was caught. Absolutely naked. Caught right in the act. And the church has been caught in the act. Amen. Of giving herself over lock, stock, and barrel to her creeds and dogmas. Now, she is in danger of ending up. And she does end up, actually, temporarily, in Revelation 18. Verse 4. I heard a people, a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven. God remembered iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Double unto her, double according to your works. And the cup she had filled, filled her a double. As she has lived deliciously and so on, let plagues and death, let the great tribulation be hers, because strong is the Lord that judges her. Now notice, this pronouncement of judgment is going on at the same time the bride is coming out of Babylon. Let the bride come out. There's nothing but judgment in them. This wrath is in the seven vials of the grievous bodily sores. Polluted deadly waters of sea and river and fountain. Fire and plague. Darkness and tongue-gnawing pain. Waterways disappearing. Evil spirits drawing them against God and unto destruction. 100-pound hailstones. All deadly diseases that are pandemic. All nature into destructive cataclysm. And yet men live on to curse and finally die in a war against God and His saints and are reduced to ashes, not only losing all they ever had or were, but must face a white throne judgment. And how many years or millenniums of the lake of fire, we don't know. The end time church is a whore, a worldwide church, the mother of many like her, full of blasphemous names, for she has married every idolatrous religion and takes the name of many men. Her first head, her pope, was the bastard son of Eve by the serpent, even Cain. Satan is the harlot church progenitor through Cain. That is apparent by Revelation 18 and 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, cast at sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down, and you destroy whores with stoning and with fire. See, that's what she is. She is a complete mess. She is endowed with a religion perfectly in tune with Cain's because it is Cain's religion. 1 John 3, verse 11, this is the message in the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was a wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his deeds were evil, his brother's righteous. Marvel not if the world hates you. Now he's telling you why Cain hated Abel. He couldn't stand his brother's revelation. So there was only one thing to do, was to kill. Now you can say what you want. This world is talking love, 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 love. Nice, 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 nice. Sweet, 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 sweet. Everybody brother. Everybody get together. That's all you hear. What's it going to bring? It's going to bring hatred against the truth. Because that's not love. Love is the love of the truth. There's only one love. That's the love of the truth. Everything degenerates into a physical, and the physical has degenerated. The filial love should have been agape love, bringing children out of the dust, but it went into a sex love. Now that's all they know. Not saying that filial love is not a decent love in itself, but it'll never get you anywhere, except in a mess. See? Now, this real love is the love of revelation of God's Word and the abiding in it. Now that's what you're up against here. We don't love like that. We don't love like the world. The world loves its own. Methodists love Methodists. Fights the Baptists. See? Now, one of these days, when the bride is all in and the squeeze begins to come down, it's quite likely there'll be a lot of bride destroyed. They can be destroyed various ways. By sheer murder or just let them starve. I say, well, we'd like to feed you, but the point is this. We know we're right and you're wrong. Now, if you don't come with us, well, we can't help it, you see. It's here if you just join us. It's just like the kid sits there and he's a kind of a dumb mute. you know the guy, he sees something wrong with him. You know something really wrong with the poor bird. He sits there and you say, now look, fella, you're going to skin and bone now. Look, I'm giving you some good food. And you know he understands. He can understand that. And you reach the food out and he won't put his hand out and the poor kid finally dies of starvation. Well, that's what they say you are. You're a nut. You won't join us, so it's your tough luck. You know, we try to help you, but it's your fault you starve. Sure, let's not kid yourself. There's trouble coming. All right, she is born of the devil and the devil's seed remains in her. She is a murderer and a liar and the truth is not in her. I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist. Well, they said, I'm Abraham's children. He said, sure, he said, but you belong to the devil just the same. The devil comes down to indwell her and becomes her head. Yeah, incarnating in a pope, in a big president, in a big shot. Satan now is her husband and her Lord, exactly as Jesus is Lord and husband of the bride. Satan owns her legally. He is her legal guardian. Why? Because she put her ear to the door. When the year of Jubilee sounded,
It's already sounded, you know. Come out of her, my people. She said, oh no, she stuck her ear to the door jam. And they all went through, she'll never hear again. She is his slave. He is her master. She is his kingdom. She is his wife, daughter. She's a wife, daughter. By the serpent beast. But with the bride of Christ, that is the true wife, right? But it isn't so. She's spotless, without blame, without blemish, before him in love. Now, this is the hour of union and unification. It's not just union. It's unification. It's a flowing together. You can have a union, but it doesn't mean unification. It's like a marriage of convenience. How many men over here were stupid enough to marry a woman and vice versa because they wanted some kind of a legal authority of immigration from the States? So the woman says, I'll marry this guy. It'll even cost you $600. As soon as the marriage is over, you go away, I go, mine, rip up the marriage and then I'll get it annulled or I'll get a divorce in a few months and you're a citizen. So she does it and he does it. Well, that's not going on here. Our union is a unification. She's one with him. See? Not just a joining together, but a melding, a union, a flowing together. See? Now is the day of union and unification. What a day. Because the bride and the word are uniting and become one spiritual living word. I don't care what it looks like. You've got to believe it. A year after God appeared to Abraham and Sarah, it was a year after at least, before there was any conception. And during that time, he and she were both young enough to conceive. Now here they are. Too old, no way. That knocks you right down to the ground. How's he ever going to have that child? Now, okay, here they are young again. Still can't have a child. Now what does that do for you? Say, holy mackerel, let's get out of here. The whole thing's a... forget it. You don't look, you believe. Abraham believed. See? At one time it was no good. At one time it was too good. You can't win for losing if you're going to use your senses. It's faith. See? You start looking around, you might as well join the false anointed. That's what's going on is with the mule. The mule's doing all the work. That destitute one, she's having all the kids. Many more of the children of the destitute and she that's got a husband. God's not in proliferation. Quantity, he's in quality. It's a faith proposition. See, the assurance of faith. Living spiritual word. Christ is being formed in the flesh of the bride. As Brother Branham said, Jesus in bride form. See? They are becoming one more and more. Until like him, they are caught up to the marriage supper. Glorified body. Even as the rebirth of foreknown seed brings the death to the old nature, so now does our union with perfection, the revealed word, bring a new rebirth to the bride. And there is death to the old denominational husband, and the legalized marriage to the Lamb comes into being. In other words, this is it. As grace triumphed over law, and as law as a husband died, giving the bride the right to be joined to grace, the bride is now the product of amazing grace and is going on to the resurrection, for her head is even a risen husband. Now, the body's always got to follow the head. Or the body doesn't, you know that as well as I do. The bride has come out of Babylon and the fornications of denomination and is now a virgin. For she has the true knowledge of Jesus, the Spirit and the Gospel, and put aside her harlot robes and ornaments. For the pure vestments made of an inspirited living word in the inner man. Just think what the prophet said. How it said that he shall appear in the last days is to bring the people back to the word so the bride will know her mate, her husband, the revealed word. In Matthew 25, she comes out. What up? Babylon. To behold him and she sees him. And is changed. This is Ephesians 1:15-23. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the bride, bringing her the knowledge of him in this hour. This is community. Or body revelation. A many member is one revelation. With the promise
to the whole living bride, like I spoke of on Sunday and Wednesday. It's the across-the-board promise. The group is moving out. The promise is not made to one man or to two men and half a dozen women. It's made to everybody. Everybody's coming out. Everybody's going in. It's not you must be born again. That's to the individual. It's not as the body has many members, so every member has a gift. That's not so. It's a many-membered body's got a husband. And we're going into the resurrection. And that many-member body is counted as one wife. As David had 500 wives, it all counted as one. See? Now, the harlot claims to know him, but she does not. Being filled with all lies, she cannot perceive truth, and there is nothing in her to receive it. Jesus said to the Pharisees, there's no place in you for my word. Now, if you're like that raccoon, I think it's the one that you put a nut in the bottle, and a shiny thing, he puts his hand in the bottle, his paw, and he grabs the thing, and he can't get his hand out of the bottle, his paw to the bottle. Now, that's the way the harlot is. She's got her heart so full of her creature dominations, and when the word of God comes, there's no place for it. It just spills off like water for duck's back. She'll never get it, see? Nothing there to receive it. Like Jesus said to the Pharisees, what a day this is. The day of the husband claiming his wife. Now, here was David. Old Saul, he got big-hearted one day. And he said to David, he said, I just think I'm going to give you my oldest daughter. Oh, he said, I know, David. He said, you're a great man. I'm going to give you my daughter. So he gave him Michelle. So I guess they were legally married. They must have been because he gave the daughter. All right, in the meantime, Saul gets mad and he chases David off. And he gets madder still, so he said, hey, he said, I'll just give this guy's wife, he said, my daughter, chain my mind, I'm going to take her back and I'll give this general over here. So he gives this man's wife to somebody else. So now the table's overturned. And David comes back and he goes to man, casts his shoulder, he says, you got my wife. I never could quite figure that. I don't know if I quite figured it right now, except I see amazing grace in this thing typing out. He said, that's my wife. Now, she may have been sleeping with her, but that's my wife, I'm going to come get her. I kind of think that's a lot like what's going on right now. We've been messed up with the creeds and dogmas, the filthy associations of this world, and that's where filth is. You think filth is down here where someone's getting drunk and committing adultery, bopping someone here with a beer bottle and cutting his throat. That's where you're wrong. Filth is back there that starts with a spiritual introduction of license from the devil, the lie. That's where filth is. And everything comes from it. See? So, all right. Here's it as it were. King David's wife. Been given over here into Babylon. Now the king comes on the scene. He said, that's Marjorie's night. Come, you better come on out, he said. I'm going to get her back. That's about the closest I can liken that one. All right, the husband claims his wife. Now, he appears to her and she knows him. See? This is Matthew 24, one taken, one left. How many churches you folk represent here that you sat in pews where other people sat beside you? You came up with the rest of you sitting there. That's Matthew 24. He's sealing her in by himself, and the government being placed on his shoulders. That makes the legitimate one, and there's none good but God. See? The God of truth, the God of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, that's what he is. The beginning of the creation of God, he's here. See? Now, her maker, that's the bride, her maker is her husband. Her Lord, that she recognizes as Lord, has appeared unto her and judged her virtuous, declared her justified, and has taken her into his judicial chamber behind the doors of Revelation that close out the world, and has affirmed that he who is here as Son of Man has every right to judge and declare that she is found guiltless and blameless and pure and undefiled, and she'll never hear a word of condemnation, but is passed from death to life because she didn't do it in the first place. That's what it's all about. Let's go to Revelation 19. We'll get you out of here before 5 o'clock. I promise you, I don't say what a.m. or p.m., I simply promise you, because I like to keep my word. All right. Beginning at verse 1, after these things I heard a great voice
of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation, glory, honor, power of the Lord our God. Sure and righteous are his judgments. For he had judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with their fornication, and avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Don't you like to see a little bit of avengement? Don't you rejoice when you really see something that it really burns you up and you know is really bad, that thing gets brought to task? And again they said, hallelujah! Because her smoke rose up. The 420 elders of four beasts fell down and worshipped God the Sabbath. Amen, hallelujah! And the voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants, ye that fear him both great and small. That came out of the throne. Oh, listen. I heard a voice of great multitudes, a voice of many waters, a voice of mighty thundering saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. See, judge, prophet turns to judge and king. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready to her. Was granted she be arrayed in white, fine linen, clean and white. Yeah, you ever read these Ann Landers columns? I read them when I have a paper, because I think she's pretty good in spots and pretty. She's pretty horrible in others. Typical female preacher is what she is, which means I really don't have any use for her. But you know, she's got this idea all trumped up. You know, a woman writes in, she said, I had this child, so on and so on and so on, but I'd like to be in a white gown in marriage. She'll go right ahead. Ha, ha, ha. Ann Landers doesn't know the thing that we know about. Ann can whitewash him. Good old Ann let her whitewash him. She wouldn't tell the truth if she had to, because why, she ain't got dinner. You ain't going to find any whore been producing bastard children unto Satan, pretending they're the children of God, that's going to be in that bride with white garments on. Amen. Come on, let's get down to nitty gritty. See, look, you begin selling yourself down the river the minute that you begin imputing anything to that bunch out there but destruction. Now, you just go ahead and impute anything but destruction. I'll tell you why. Look, we don't know that we're bride, but by grace we are. We believe it. Now, let's understand this. The prophet said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, it won't stand away. I'm going to tell you, there's a bride going to be just like this one. Let's have enough brains and enough grace and enough something to stand back and say, hallelujah, if we're not there, somebody's going to be there. Yeah. And when he says, you start shouting, that voice comes out of the throne, start praising God. Ooh, that's going to be so beautiful. Yep, I got enough in me and soul of you to recognize that much. Hallelujah. I believe the rest is there to take it all the way too. All fine linen, the righteousness of the saints, which is God himself. Blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper. And he said, these are the true sayings of God. That ought to make a man fall down and worship before time. All right, there is the judgment of the harlot and the bride. Okay? Let's talk about what's going on next. Verse 11, heaven open. Here's the great one. The judge making war. Yes, sir, seated on a white horse. Who's with him? A bride, a mighty army. What are they doing? They're bringing destruction upon the nations. With the fierce sword of the wrath of Almighty God, justice must be perpetrated. So here they are, destroying the wicked, blood riding, riding to the horses, bridles, cross the land, sweeping the fire of Almighty God, destroying men, reducing them to ashes. I didn't say it, the Bible did. Yes, sir. There is judgment of the harlot and the bride right here before us. The bride's judgment is thus giving him honor and preeminence. Come to the wedding, your bride. Here's your garments. You're blessed, you're holy. What are you doing standing out there? Come on in. All I said about you is true. No spot is found in you. And I will make all come and recognize you as my wife. What a day this day is today, the day of the husband. The husband revealed. The head of the house. The life. The all in all. And the judge is the husband, and he cannot testify against her. Because he is her covering. I like that law. The husband cannot testify against the wife, but he'd be testifying against himself because he's her covering. But oh, how we can testify back if we only will. Which is to give back to him in confession of our faith what he gave to us. Let me close with these words. As Israel escaped Egypt, they took strength for the journey from a Passover supper. Spiritual food in due season. In our Jubilee, our feast day, we are eating not the words of a man, but the body words of our Lord Jesus Christ through vindication, which will transfuse and transfigure our bodies by the meat we have received for our due season, the season of immortality. And whoso eateth this word, which is made alive by the Spirit, shall never die, but enter the kingdom as a body. Yep, all together. As the sweep, the deep sweep of immortal life flows over her, each and every member all at once. So there it is. If you are alert, you will have noticed that we have just reopened what we have said previously, another facet of him who is unveiling himself, and that is Elohim, the one who becomes not only prophet, not only judge, but the husband at the head who stands for the wife. And he says everything she is, and only everything she is, what she has received of mine, for she is perfect. Nothing has been added, and nothing has been taken. So, that's the subject for today. The day of the husband. Yep. Aren't you glad? As the members of the bride, if Satan comes by, you can say, I don't talk to men. You'll have to talk to my husband.
Praise God.
If anybody wants to take authority, you say, you'll have to talk to my husband. And let me assure you, he's a man of few words, and they never ever change. Yeah, and he will say to them, did you refer him to, or you refer them to him? He will say, depart, because I don't know you. You say, why is that? Because he doesn't know them now, if he won't know them then. Because you see, this is the hour of revelation. This is where an ounce of prevention is worth a million tons of cure. Because in the prevention lies the cure. Because it is the cure that prevents us from going to the great tribulation. The husband stands here. Isn't that marvelous to think that we have such a covering? That our Maker is our husband. That he which was dead and is alive will soon be incarnated by him who is and was and is to come, the Alpha and Omega, Hebrews 13 and 8, the all and the all. That's right. And that one that came down is putting everything in divine order through divine word. And he's still here because the same one that came down with the message hasn't raised the dead. So when people try to tell me he isn't here, I say, that's wonderful. And I could say something else, but I'm going to be very polite and just let you know this. That if he isn't here, he'd better get here pretty soon. And I want to find out who said he went back. I'm not taking their word, because I want to know what vindication they got. They haven't got as much as I got, and I ain't got none. That's right. I want to know when he's going to come back to raise the dead. Now, they stuck their necks up. I want to tell you something. I believe the husband is here.
Amen.
I believe the good shepherd is here. Amen. I believe the door is here. I believe the gate is here. I believe all in all is here. And I believe he who becomes, they've missed it because they don't know what he's becoming. He's becoming more and more into human flesh. They missed what the prophet said. But by the grace of God, we're not going to miss it. Because he's here in a bride form. Brother Branham said, in telling us that, he said, I'll tell you what, he said. He said, all this is not given to one person. When he's talking about meeting the gift ministry he had and this and that. But he said, one member has it, the body has it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Let's get this flat. People just like to think that this body is some indiscriminate kind of a amorphic lump. I want to tell you that, or amorphous lump, that's exactly wrong. When you talk about a body, you don't talk about moles on the face and warts on the cheek. I got a little wart up here and got mole here. You can see mole here. Yeah, mole here. That's not, it isn't a perfect face. You can tell that to begin with. But if I was perfectly healthy, you know what I mean? You couldn't find anything in my body that would even suggest death. In other words, I had, I'm going to tell you what, there ain't going to be any moles in the resurrection, to put it that way. I may have the same nose, but I'm going to tell you, this nose is broken. It'll be slightly changed, but not that much. It makes any difference. High cheekbones, all those things in. But it won't be any sinus problem. No sore throat. I'll get my tonsils back. All my hair come back. Oh, yeah. And I'll look great and you'll look great. You know why? Because we won't have the devil's standards anymore.
Amen. Good.
We won't be looking through eyes that have been corrupted. Through senses that have been tarnished. Oh, they talk about these guys that, you know, they train in colleges, these chiropractors and these osteopaths, until they can take 12 sheets of newspaper and run the fingers over and they'll pick up a pin or almost a hair under 12 sheets. Most, I don't think a hair, but a little pin. You say, what a great sense of touch. Wait till it gets to the millennium. I got a nose that I wish it didn't have. Not from the size and the shape, but from the way I can smell. I can walk, I like perfume. But if my wife puts on perfume, I get almost a headache. I wish I wasn't that way. I can smell smoke where most people don't smell smoke. I can hear noises where you've got to have a tremendous range. I wish I didn't have it. But oh, how nice it's going to be in the millennium. Oh, to smell the most beautiful, oh, marvelous. To see the most wonderful things, to hear the most wonderful. Yeah. Why? Because the husband's here.
Amen. Praise God.
The great dragon killer. The destroyer of serpent seed. He's here. And I'll tell you, everything that he has of the Father, he has it for the bride. This, my brother, my sister, is the day of the Lord that we're just sweeping into. Because it's prophet, judge, king, priest, judge, king, and the prophet stood here and was the voice of God and said, little bride, you're the virtuous, faultless, sinless bride of Christ. You didn't even do it. And he pointed his finger and he said, the judgments of God are in the earth. Now you do what you want. I'm doing what I want. I'm going to stick with this revelation. He is here. He is here. He is here. And he is mine. And I am here. And when he goes, I'm going with him.
Amen.
That's right. Heavenly Father, merciful God, we praise you again and magnify your great and holy name for the love with you loved us. The mercy, Lord, that you have bestowed upon us, we know it is limitless. And we praise you for it. We thank you, O God, that we have discerned the signs of the times, and the only reason we have is because you allowed us to. For from the beginning you foreordained and predestinated us that we would have a place in us that would recognize that word. And now we're grateful. Now that word alive within us will change us. And no longer, Lord, do we look at ourselves and worry anymore. The fuss is over. Married to the virtuous, sinless, wonderful Son of God. And the same prophet that told us that said we were pure and spotless and didn't even do it. We were back to virgin. Yes, that same one told us these things. And we believe it is the voice of Almighty God, because the Lord himself descended with a shout, which was not said to be his own voice. But at that river, when the clarion call came forth that John the Baptist forerun the first coming, so your message will forerun the second, absolutely was the voice of your prophet William Branham. And there stood the rainbow overhead, so that men and women could see that same one, that reflection, knowing one day that same one whose reflection was there, visible to the people, would step right into the church. Come right now, step upon land and see, knock at that door, and bring a bride out to sup with him, bring her out of the Babylon. Take her into the king's palaces, where all is glorious.
because the King's bride is all glorious within and without. Because she is all of Him, and He is all of her, united together, flowed together, melded together. We appreciate that, Lord. We know we're just coming morning. It's a little hard to accept it. You know, Lord, that we're giving You our confession based upon what we heard. And, Lord, we're believing that You're going to quicken this to us. Until it is one divine flow of revelation, singing glory and praise to Him who loved us, does love us, and will continue so. And unto Him who brought this all about, unto Him who also became into flesh to die and rise again for us, unto Him be praise, honor, and glory in the blessed name of Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Okay. Where's my singer? Okay, they'll never, what's that song? There'll never be a day like this day to me. Never been a day like this day to me. There hasn't either. There's never been a day like this day I'll see. There's never been a night as bright, so bright as this day, this glorious day. You know, people can say what they want, but the crowning hour of a woman's life is really supposed to be her marriage. That's supposed to be the great thing, you know. You're supposed to position her where she's really supposed to be, what she was made for, what the man was made for. I know that's kind of gone down the drain in this age, but I'm going to tell you, this marriage does not go down the drain.
Praise God. Amen.
Yes, sir. That's the word of the Lord. You better believe that. You're beyond any comparison anymore. You know why? Because shadow has turned to reality. Now, Brother Branham said that. He said once there was light, that was just a word. When it came light, that was reality. That wasn't a word anymore. He said, this is reality. See, I believe that. See, I believe that absolutely the becoming is right at hand. That we're into it. Okay, sing it again then. There's never been a day like this day.